You know, we don't do a lot of cookbooks on this show. Hugh Atchison's latest cookbook fits right in. It doesn't show much cooking. The chef is shown reading in a lawn chair, taking a hot bath, even playing the cello, at least holding the bow over one. It's a book about what you can cook, if that's quite the word, while you do something else, even for hours. The Chef and the Slow Cooker is by Hugh Atchison, the acclaimed Canadian Southern chef who owns big-name restaurants in Georgia and is a judge on Top Chef. He joins us from WABE in Atlanta. Chef, thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be here, Scott.
So, the slow cooker is old technology whose time has come?
It's been in your closet for years and gathering dust, and most people have one, and they cooked a pot roast in it and put it away. But what it is it's really simple technology that really is a gateway to cooking from scratch again, which I think is the biggest hurdle that we really have in households in our country, is to get people cooking from scratch and eating well and immersing themselves in good food.
What does a slow cooker do that just a pot in the stove doesn't?
Well, the pot on the stove is fine, but I want to keep the house intact and not burn it down. So a slow cooker is just it's a peace of mind. And it's usually simple technology that you all have. They're not very expensive, and they're just rudimentary, basic, to usually a low and a high setting and a cover, and it acts as that braising pan, but in a safe and contained environment.
And it doesn't just make everything taste mushy?
No, you have more control. We've learned so much about food in the last 30 years, so much about technique and transferring of vegetables and keeping things fresh. So it doesn't have to be those slow cooker meals of yore. So that's what the book's really trying to do, is contemporize and make sure it's fresh and it's savoring all these aspects of global cuisine that we can put into this pot and have it be really something you'd relish.
Yeah, and you have recipes that are at least flavored, if I might put it that way, from all over the world in this book, don't you?
Yeah, there's use of miso and kimchi, and I think our palates have gone from a love of continental food to a love of the world now, where our palates really want to be wowed and want to be pushed with spice and umami and different sensibilities. So that's what the book's bringing into it, that even to the simplest pot roast, you can add a really big flourish at the end of fermented chilies and chickpeas and things that are redolent, showing off the flavors of the world.
Tell me about the recipe, because there's a whole mess of ingredients laid out. Chicken Country Captain.
Well, Chicken Country Captain was really shows off the true Southern lineage, that Southern food was brought here in the pockets of slaves, that it was brought here in crazy, painful ways. But the spice ports of Charleston and Savannah had a lot of influence. So really, it's a curried chicken. It's elaborate curried chicken, but that really showed off the diversity of what was bringing in spices and Madeiras and ports, and it was essential port locations in the South. And then you mix that with the influence of Bella cuisine and West African cuisine and then West Indian food, and this is a timeless recipe that comes out of it.
And what kind of spices in Chicken Country Captain?
Country Captain is going to have a lot of chilies in it, a lot of ton of fresh ginger and curry powder and tomatoes, and I put raisins and almonds and chicken broth and cilantro and mint and scallions. So it does have a lot of things in it, but they amass to this beauteous, beauteous thing in the end.
So you have fig trees and you make jam in the slow cooker?
You know, Athens, Georgia is like the preeminent fig climate that for some reason. I planted a small fig tree years ago, not really thinking much about it, and that thing is a magical producer of a gazillion figs. So we have to figure out something to do with them.
A slow cooker does seem to be good for jam, doesn't it? Because it takes
It
a lot of
is
the drudgery.
Great. Yeah, it takes a lot of that stirring. And, you know, the worst thing you can do with a jam is spend an arduous amount of time cleaning fruit, getting it together and getting it into a pot, and then torching and scorching the bottom of it because of an open flame and a little bit too high heat. The slow cooker really just mellows that out.
If you were going to buy a slow cooker, what should you look for?
There are a lot of them coming out on the market now that are super modern and have all sorts of gadgets and whistles and bells. And I really prefer a really, really simple one, but the insert pan is really the important part. So I look for one that's pretty heavy, that's going to have really good heat distribution. A thin aluminum thin one is not going to do much. So you just want something relatively heavy. Often they're porcelain or enameled, and those work well. But any brand really works because it's such rudimentary technology.
What do you do with all the free time you get with a slow cooker? cooker. I mean, judging by the photographic evidence here, you take a lot of hot baths and play the cello. Do you even play the cello?
No, that was my daughter's cello. That's a propped photo, Scott. I will go on record as saying I do not play the cello. But I think that I want to get people cooking again in a way they feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I want you to cook from scratch for the beauty of sitting down at the table later on with something you created and sharing it with the ones you love.
Hugh Atchison, his book, The Chef and the Slow Cooker. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Scott.